forward, reverse.
So when I want to go to the first slide, I just press forward? Mm-hmm. Okay, great.
There you go.
And what's this?
That's the microphone.
And where do I put that? Mm-hmm. Okay. In your pocket? Oh, that's it. Good. Okay. Okay. You might want to lower the lights a little because of the slides. Yeah, thanks. García Lorca, the renowned playwright and poet, was born in 1898 in Fuente Vaqueros, a small village near Granada, Spain. That's his birth house. At the height of his literary career, though not a political person, he was tragically assassinated August 1936 by the Falangist at the age of 38 in Viznar, a village near Granada. From his earliest years, García Lorca was musically inclined and learned to play both piano and guitar. In 1909, he moved with his family to Granada, where he continued his piano studies with Don Antonio Segura Mesa, who also taught him solfeggio, harmony, and composition. Eventually, the poet began giving concerts and composing piano pieces and incidental music for a musical comedy. At this time, it was thought that he would eventually pursue a career in music. But in 1916, as his university semester ended, his beloved music teacher, Don Antonio, died, and his parents refused to allow him to continue his music studies in Paris. As he became more involved with literary figures at the university, he began to concentrate more on writing, although he still played the piano and sang frequently for gatherings. This next slide is of the La Residencia de Estudiantes in Madrid, where he spent some years living there while he was studying in Madrid and where he mixed with many intellectuals, writers, and artists of the time. These are some of the poets that he met, Cernuda and Alejandre. And this is a gathering of his friends where he frequently played the piano. Along with his growing love for literature, Lorca was developing a great interest in Spanish folk songs and collected and arranged many for piano and voice. I would like to play one of these now, Zorongo Gitano, from his Canciones Populares Antiguas. García Lorca is at the piano accompanying Argentinita, Encarnación López Hulvez, a dear friend and one of his favorite artists, who in these excerpts sings, dances, and plays the castanets. These songs were recorded in 1931 on Spanish HMV gramophone. Lorca particularly had a deep love and appreciation for the cante hondo, or deep song, of his native Andalusia. The famous gypsy caves of Sacromonte were in Granada, and he grew up surrounded by this music. This is one of the more contemporary, very well-known Cante Hondo singers. His name is Camarón. Cante Hondo is the older body of Andalusian vocal music from which the more modern flamenco music is derived. There have been many theories as to the origins of Cante Hondo, and references have been made to the Muslim occupation of Spain, 711 to 1492, to the Gypsy migration from India in the 15th century, and even to Byzantine chant and early Hebrew liturgical music. The Oriental influence would appear to be the strongest, and the Gypsies who mostly settled in Andalusia played a large part in the development of various songs and dances derived from Cante Hondo. Gilbert Chase, in his introduction and notes to the 1956 Folkways album, Spain, Flamenco Music of Andalusia, gives a very interesting musical analysis of Cante Hondo and its differences from European music. Together with his friend, the composer Manuel de Falla, Lorca made an extensive study of Cante Hondo. The two men and other colleagues decided to create an annual competition of Cante Hondo singers as a way to draw attention to what they felt was one of Spain's greatest folk arts. The first competition was held in Granada in 1922. That's Manuel de Falla with a bunch of people at the 1922 competition, and was very successful. Lorca, in his lecture, Cante Hondo, or Deep Song, has said, "The essential difference between deep song and flamenco is that the origins of the former must be sought in the primitive musical systems of India, while flamenco, a consequence of deep song, did not acquire its definitive form until the 18th century. Deep song is imbued with the mysterious color of primordial ages. Flamenco is relatively modern song, whose emotional interest fades before that of deep song. Local color versus spiritual color. That is the profound difference." Oops, wrong one. Yeah, let's see, I'm trying to, back it up a little. Let's see, I must have, there we go. This slide is of a famous Cante Hondo singer called Manola Caracol, who was 12 years old when they gave the Cante Hondo competition in 1922, and he was one of the prize winners. This is him many years later with his partner of later years, Lola Flores. In 1921, the 23-year-old poet wrote his first major work, Poema del Cante Hondo. In these poems, Lorca, with his musical rhythms, striking imagery, and passionate intensity, or duende, creates a moving synthesis of the sounds and emotions of Cante Hondo. I would now like to play for you one poem from this collection, La Gitara. It will be read by Germaine Montero, an actress and singer who worked with García Lorca in the 1930s. It is featured on a Vanguard album, which came out in the 60s, entitled Germaine Montero, Lament on the Death of a Bullfighter, and Other Poems and Songs of Federico García Lorca.
Empieza el llanto de la guitarra. Se rompen las copas de la madrugada. Empieza el llanto de la guitarra. Es inútil callarla, es imposible callarla. Llora monótona como llora el agua, como llora el viento sobre la nevada. Es imposible callarla. Llora por cosas lejanas, arena del sur caliente que pide camelias blancas. Llora fecha sin blanco, la tarde sin mañana y el primer pájaro muerto sobre la rama. Oh, guitarra, corazón malherido por cinco espadas.
Lorca had a deep concern for social justice and was particularly sensitive to the cries of the downtrodden and outcast of society. He especially sympathized with the gypsies of his native Andalusia, and in 1924 to 1927, he published his Romancero Gitano. This series of poems contains some wonderfully evocative expressions of the mystery and sadness of the gypsy soul. La Pena Negra, or Black Sorrow, as García Lorca called it, in his Romance de la Pena Negra. I will now play one poem from this collection, Romance del Prendimiento de Antonito el Camborio, or in English, The Ballad of the Arrest of Antonito el Camborio, the story of a gypsy lad who was arrested by the civil guard while on the road to Seville to see the bulls. It will be read by Margarita Zirgu, the Catalan actress who was a great favorite of García Lorca and to whom this poem is dedicated. Zirgu played the premier performances of the mother in Bodas de Sangre and the title roles in Doña Rosita la Soltera, Mariana Pineda, and Yerma. This recording was originally made in the 1930s and was reissued on CSIC Publicaciones de la Residencia de Estudiantes.
Antonio Torres Heredia, hijo y nieto de Camborio, con una vara de mimbre va a Sevilla a ver los toros. Moreno de verde luna anda despacio y garboso. Sus empavonados bucles le brillan entre los ojos. A la mitad del camino cortó limones redondos y los fue tirando al agua hasta que la puso de oro. Y a la mitad del camino, bajo las ramas de un olmo, guardia civil caminera lo llevó codo con codo. El día se va despacio, la tarde colgada a un hombro, dando una larga torera sobre el mar y los arroyos. Las aceitunas aguardan la noche de Capricornio y una corta brisa ecuestre salta los montes de plomo. Antonio Torres Heredia, hijo y nieto de Camborios, viene sin vara de mimbre entre los cinco tricornios. Antonio, ¿quién eres tú? Si te llamaras Camborio, hubieras hecho una fuente de sangre con cinco chorros. Ni tú eres hijo de nadie, ni legítimo Camborio. Se acabaron los gitanos que iban por el monte solos. Están los viejos cuchillos tiritando bajo el polvo. A las 9 de la noche lo llevan al calabozo, mientras los guardias civiles beben limonada todos. Y a las 9 de la noche le cierran el calabozo, mientras el cielo reluce como la grupa de un potro.
I just wanted to tell you the slide is at the premiere of, I believe, Mariana Pineda, and Margarita Zirgu is the dark-haired lady sitting right next to García Lorca in the front row. Many musicians have been captivated by Lorca's musical rhythms, mystical metaphors, and passionate expressions. His works are truly a synthesis of poetry, drama, and music. Christopher Mora, in his introduction to Federica García Lorca, the three plays, Blood Wedding, Yerma, and House of Bernarda Alba, expresses this thought very well. There are two areas in particular in which Lorca's theater differs radically from that of his predecessors, his idea of poetic drama and the musical nature of his work. In Lorca's work, drama and poetry seem inseparable. His poetry often has the dramatic quality that he admired in traditional Spanish songs and narrative ballads, and his drama has the metaphorical density, the attention to rhythm, the ring of memorable speech one normally associates with poetry. George Crumb, the American composer, known for his innovative techniques in the use of vivid sonorities, obtained from an enormous range of instrumental and vocal effects, made various settings of Lorca's poems. In fact, almost all of his vocal compositions are settings of verses by Lorca, which the composer views as an extended cycle. I would like to play one of the vocal pieces now. It is from Crumb's 1963 work, Night Music One, which is scored for soprano, piano celesta, and percussion. Crumb's unusual use of timbre, register, and rhythmic patterns, as well as his highly colored chromaticism, heighten the effects of the poem, La Luna Asoma, from Lorca's Canciones 1921 to 1924. The soprano is Louise Toth, and the instrumental ensemble is conducted by George Crumb himself. The record label is Composers Recordings Incorporated. Cry. Francis Poulenc, the French composer whose songs are greatly admired for their sensitive integration of vocal line and accompaniment, created musical settings for three short poems of Lorca in 1947. I will play two of them, L'Enfant Muet, in Spanish El Niño Mudo, in English The Mute Boy, and Adelina a la Promenade, Adelina de Paseo. The above poems are all from Lorca's Canciones, again, 1921 to 1924. They are scored for baritone and piano and will be performed by Gerard Souzet, baritone, and Dalton Baldwin, pianist. The record label is La Voix de Son Maître. It's about 1973, the recording. Poulenc also composed a sonata for violin and piano to the memory of Federico García Lorca in 1943. The Russian composer Dmitri Shostakovich, in his Symphony No. 14, scored for soprano, bass, and chamber orchestra, created intense settings for 11 poems, all dealing with the same subject, death. He has spoken of this symphony as being his protest against death. The somber imagery of the poems is heightened by Shostakovich's stark orchestral colors, strident atonality in the strings, and darkly passionate declamations of the singers. The opening two poems in his symphony are De Profundis and Malagueña from Lorca's Poema del Cantejondo. In De Profundis, Lorca speaks of Los cien enamorados duermen para siempre bajo la tierra seca. Those 100 lovers are asleep forever beneath the dry earth. It is sung by bass Mark Richetin with strings. I'll go on and then I'll... In Malagueña, la muerte entra y sale y entra la muerte de la taberna. Death goes in and out and into the tavern goes death. This is sung by soprano Galina Vishnevskaya with strings and castanets. Mstislav Rostropovich conducts a chamber ensemble from the Moscow Philharmonic. The record label is RCA Victor, Red Seal, 1971. Thank you.
occhi d'ori, bruciat, bruciat. Son pobri, soglio, e sciorche e cruio, son spiezio, semi, pierdi. A scherzo, diffugit, 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 diffugit.
The Belgian composer, cellist, and conductor Eric Felbusch composed his Trois Poèmes de Federico García Lorca, setting to music three sections of Lorca's Llanto por Ignacio Sánchez Mejías, his magnificent lament for the death of Mejías, the bullfighter who was one of his close friends. That's a picture of him in the bull ring. I will play Felbusch's settings for one section, La Prise et la Mort, or in Spanish, La Cogida y la Muerte, in English, The Engagement of the Bull and Death, beginning with the dirge-like cadences of A Cinq Heures du Soir at 5 in the afternoon. It is scored for speaker, played by Germaine Guérin, and orchestra, in this case, the Symphony Orchestra of Liège, conducted by Julian Girios. The record label is Cultura, 1967.
Panier de chaux déjà préparé à 5 heures du soir. Tout le reste était mort et rien que mort à 5 heures du soir. Le vent fit voler les flocons d'ouate à 5 heures du soir. L'oxyde sema cristal et nickel à 5 heures du soir. Une cuisse avec une corne désolée à 5 heures du soir. Les cloches d'arsenic et de fumée à 5 heures du soir commencèrent leur son de fou bourdon à 5 heures du soir. Quand la reine se couvrit d'iode à 5 heures du soir, la mort plaça des œufs dans la blessure à 5 heures du soir. À 5 heures du soir, c'était juste 5 heures du soir. Un cercueil à roue et son lit. À 5 heures du soir, des flûtes et des os bruissent à son oreille à 5 heures du soir. Le taureau déjà mugit vers son front à 5 heures du soir. Au loin déjà vient la gangrène à 5 heures du soir. Trompe de lys dans l'aine verte à 5 heures du soir. Comme des soleils brûlaient les blessures à 5 heures du soir. La foule brisait les fenêtres à 5 heures du soir. À 5 heures du soir, oh, quel terrible 5 heures du soir. C'était 5 heures à toutes les horloges. C'était 5 heures dans l'ombre du soir.
Now I will play for you the same segment in Spanish, La Cogida y la Muerte, from Lorca's original poem, read with great intensity by Germaine Montero.
A las cinco de la tarde, eran las cinco en punto de la tarde, un niño trajo la blanca sábana a las cinco de la tarde, una espuerta de cal ya prevenida a las cinco de la tarde. Lo demás era muerte y solo muerte a las cinco de la tarde. El viento se llevó los algodones a las cinco de la tarde y el óxido sembró cristal y níquel a las cinco de la tarde. Ya luchan la paloma y el leopardo a las cinco de la tarde, y un muslo con un asta desolada a las cinco de la tarde. Comenzaron los sones de Bordón a las cinco de la tarde, las campanas de arsénico y el humo a las cinco de la tarde, en las esquinas grupos de silencio a las cinco de la tarde, y el toro solo corazón arriba a las cinco de la tarde. Cuando el sudor de nieve fue llegando a las cinco de la tarde, cuando la plaza se cubrió de yodo a las cinco de la tarde, la muerte puso huevos en la herida.
The Italian composer Luigi Nono, known for his electronic aleatoric chants and Syrian music, was a great admirer of Lorca. Like him,
a las cinco en punto de la tarde.
Un
ataúd con ruedas es la cama.
Two works inspired by Lorca, L'Epitafio per Federico García Lorca for voice and orchestra, and a ballet, Il Mantello Rosso, based on Lorca's Amor de Don Pralin Plin. From his 1952 L'Epitafio per Federico García Lorca, I will play Tarde, from Lorca's Canciones 1921-1924. The soprano is Lidia Marampietri and the baritone is Mario Borrello, with the symphony orchestra and chorus of Radio Rome conducted by Bruno Maderna. The record label is Arcadia, 1992.
Thank you.
unfortunately, I can't finish because I have to hurry up. We will finish with an excerpt from an opera based on his play Bodas de Sangre. I'll skip over a lot of this. It's Hungarian, written by Sándor Zsokalé. There were three operas based on Blood Wedding or Bodas de Sangre. One by Alberto Ginastera from Argentina, another by the German composer Wolfgang Fortner, and the third by the Hungarian composer Sándor Zsokalé. We'll go for the last. This is the last section of Act 3, Scene 2 of his opera Vernace, which was premiered in Budapest in 1964. The record label is Qualitone, around 1968. It's the scene where the women are wailing. I didn't have a chance to set it up. Blood Wedding is the story of a bride who runs away with a married lover on her wedding day. Her bridegroom follows after them, and the two men kill each other in a knife duel. All the women are now left to mourn the deaths of the new bridegroom and of Leonardo, the bride's lover. So in this last scene, it is called the Weaver scene, and displays the wonderful singing of the Budapest Opera Chorus, and all the women are wailing for the lost men, except for the mother, who has no more to fear, as her last son has been killed, as was her husband and other son in violent, vengeful encounters. This scene is very reminiscent of the final scene of another folk tragedy. Over the death of
Mit nyered a